Hi, I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello, this is Marlena, and welcome to the Marlena program, which this week is going to be a little bit longer than 60 minutes. We're going to take your phone calls here live with Chris Gregg, president of ACB. Let's bring Chris into the room. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Marlena. Good evening, everybody. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. We're going to expand the program tonight to be on the air for actually close to 2 hours. And before we get to the phone calls, there are a couple of things that we want to do, a little bit of housekeeping and then actually a bit of a feature. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way first. The toll-free number is 1-866-666-7926. If you are not in the U.S. or somehow can't use a toll-free number and you want to participate in the discussions, which will happen here in just a bit, you can do that by coming to the Speakeasy Room at the Our Place chat portal here at ACB Radio, and that's www.ourplace.acbradio.org, and then join the Speakeasy Room. So we will get to phone calls in just a bit, but first of all, Chris, a proper welcome and thank you from ACB Radio for joining us. One of the things when you and I talked about doing this show, you thought that you would like to take some time out to do, and I think it's a fabulous idea, is share with our listening audience the talk that you gave at the mid-year board meeting. Do you want to talk a bit about that, and then we'll go straight into that?
I sure would. The mid-year meeting was an exciting time to get together. It was a time that I hoped and believe would be a very therapeutic time for the leadership of ACB to sit down and talk together about a number of issues that had come up that were of concern to ACB members, to the leadership, and to be very candid, of considerable concern to myself and the board of directors of ACB. It was with a small amount of nervousness that I took the podium on that Saturday morning to deliver what I hoped would be an address that would begin to bring people together, begin to present a more balanced view of what had been going on than perhaps had been able to be presented before that time. And I thought, Marlena, that it would be good to share that with the many people who may not have had a chance to attend the meeting, so the rest of our conversation tonight could be based on the information that was presented in those remarks. I believe it was well received at the time, and I would like to say at the outset that while we had some very direct conversations about some very specific issues at the president's meeting, I believe it's fair to say that virtually everybody went away from that meeting feeling as though tremendous progress had been made, and with a good feeling about how we would be able to proceed from that time to the convention this summer.
And one thing that I just want to add here, that we will be taking telephone calls after this talk is played. This is the opportunity for people to receive respectful responses and ask respectful questions on wherever you may be on the issues of ACB. And so please, in order that we can get all the calls in when we do begin to take calls, please have your questions ready, and so that we can get your call in and get everyone who wants to speak directly with Chris. All right, with that said, shall we move to the talk?
Greetings to presidents, ACB board members, committee chairs, participants, volunteers. What a great turnout we have today, huh? It's great to be here. This may be the biggest president's meeting that we've had in a long time. I'm looking forward very much to what we can accomplish together this weekend. Standing before you this morning, I can't help but remember being at last year's ACB mid-year meeting in Pittsburgh. What a different situation I was in then. Moving around in either a wheelchair or with a walker. Jeff knows a bit about what that's like right now. And I could not at that time even stand through the introductions around the room. And they weren't as long as they were today. Be that as it may, I was here. And many, many of you told me at the end of the president's meeting that it was one of the finest meetings we ever had. And the fact that you're here today means a great deal to me, and it means a great deal to ACB as well. Today, many might say that rather than myself, it is our organization that has suffered severe injury, that it is limping, if not downright crippled, and that we are almost on the verge of collapse. In short, it is said that today ACB is in crisis. It is also said that ACB is virtually penniless, on the very brink of insolvency and financial bankruptcy. Finally, it is said that the board of directors of ACB has acted, perhaps in bad faith, against the broader leadership and membership of this organization. These are quite serious accusations. I stand here this morning before you to say, and hopefully to substantiate in this conversation and others that we'll have over the weekend, that none of these things are true, or at least they're not as true as they may seem to be. More importantly, let me tell you why. First, let's examine the question, is ACB in crisis? Are we repeating the history of our forefathers? Many of you know that the history of this organization has always been a real passion of mine. In fact, it's one of the things that brought me into the organized blind movement in 1971. I was so curious to know who had done what and why things had happened. And, of course, it wasn't as many years after the formation of ACB in 1971 as it is today. I was lucky. I had the chance to do a lot of oral interviewing of some of the early founders of ACB. I had the chance to work in the national office under the tutelage of Durward McDaniel and to work to be a volunteer there for many years after that, first with Durward and then with Oral. I say this only to suggest that I value the history of this organization. I believe in the values that we stand for and do have some pretty intimate and in-depth knowledge about what they are. Those of you who know me, and it's impossible to know everybody in the room, also know that my political values are fairly left of center. I tend toward the freedom of speech ideals. It has been argued in previous elections that that Chris Gray was far too liberal to be the president of ACB. But I'd like to say that I do as much today as ever believe in such values as freedom of speech and in the democratic principles of ACB and of this country. A difficulty we currently face in ACB, though, is that there may be a disconnect between the upholding of such values and the promotion of other agendas that may or may not relate to those values. It's one thing to espouse a value. It's another thing to prove that it's that value that's in jeopardy. It's something we need to address over the course of this weekend, talk about and think about together. The reality as I see it right now, though, is that we are not reliving ACB's early history today. To suggest that we are is more a means of politicizing and exaggerating a series of events so completely as to be misleading and harmful to this organization as a whole. Take the Crawford resignation as an example. It has been suggested that this is analogous to NFB President Tenbrook's firing of A.L. Archibald in 1957, and that it demonstrates my willingness to act as a dictator. As a basis for discussion, I have no problem with anybody suggesting an analogy like that. However, as a basis for truth, such an allegation is unsupportable. To begin with, Charlie Crawford resigned. A.L. Archibald was fired. Archibald's dismissal occurred with no warning and without the consultation by the president of his board of directors. In addition, it is important to say that Mr. Crawford was in no way forced or coerced into resigning his position. What is also true is that over a series of meetings beginning in July and continuing into October, it became clear to a significant and consistent majority of the board of directors that their vision and goals for ACB and the principles of governance for the organization that they believe not only to be self-evident, but essential for the future of the organization about the position of executive director was not shared with them by the person holding that position. These matters were discussed over several meetings. They were amplified in an exchange of documents. They were mediated through the use of mediation services from outside the board of directors, Washington, D.C., or even San Francisco. Nevertheless, key differences remained, and it was agreed that the working relationship between the executive director and the board of directors was no longer suitable. Now, here's where we have to talk about roles a little bit. And I think the role discussion is an important one, and it won't happen just in my presentation right now, an understanding about it and some agreement about it. In general terms, we have constitutionally and organizationally in ACB a board, a staff, and a membership. Those are the three fundamental elements that are set forth in the governing documents of the organization. In a strict sense, it is my belief that it is the membership that is in control of this organization. That has always been true. That hasn't changed. It's not going to change. It is the board who is charged with the responsibility of seeing to it that the will of the membership is implemented on a policy level. And it is the staff of the organization that then have the sometimes, too often, thankless job of implementing that policy. It needs to work that way, and I think in this case it basically did. And I hope we can talk about that as the weekend goes on. Many have said that this organization cannot collectively make peace with Charlie's resignation unless or until they know more of the facts surrounding it. I ask you this weekend that we help one another decide whether or not the information on this subject heals our wounds or deepens them. That's really the thing I think we have to decide. The resignation of Penny is a separate and entirely different matter, though primarily under the direction of the Board of Publications and acting executive director Melanie Brunson, please bear the following in mind as we talk about things over this weekend. And in many ways, I hate to make these comments, but I think in view of the discussion that has been held for so long on the Internet, I have no choice but to do so. Penny was allowed to resign as a matter of a professional courtesy after a vote of no confidence had been taken in her continued job performance by the Board of Publications. You already know from reading her various notes since her resignation a ton of details about that. However, I will state for the record that Penny's basic difficulty with employment in ACB was an inability to separate herself as an individual advocate, from herself as an employee of ACB. This, in fact, it probably is, a common thread that has led to the difficulty ACB is working through today. ACB is led by the membership and next by the board of directors. We employ staff to assist us, not to take over the organization. Speaking more broadly about whether or not we are in crisis, every member of the board of directors values and appreciates how much our staff makes ACB able to function on a day-to-day basis. Thank you. We come to identify with staff, and that's the way it should be. Part of what I'm hearing people say is a concern that we're losing staff and that they're not being replaced. That's a fair point, and I certainly am sensitive to it. But trust me, the job of president is 100 times harder without an executive director. The model of ACB is to have a president working with a director, and don't get me wrong, it's fantastic working with Melanie in an acting capacity, but she's got two jobs to do, and that's not easy and not entirely fair to her. But we are making progress in this area, and I think it's toward progress and toward the future we need to look. Last week, the new director of ACB Radio was appointed. For those of you who may not know, his name is Dave Williams, and he's going to be a wonderful asset to our organization. At its meeting this weekend, the board of directors will hear the report of the executive director search committee. That committee met yesterday. I can tell you from that meeting, 410 is a very nice room, so don't forget to go to the hospitality there tonight. Met there last night for over 7 hours. Doing their work. I believe the board will be able to hear their report, and that we'll be able to move forward in a significant manner to fill the position of executive director. I submit to you this morning that rather than an organization in crisis, ACB has functioned in precisely the democratic manner that is prescribed for us in our Constitution and bylaws and laid down for us in general by the people who founded this organization. An executive director who found himself in disagreement with the president and board of directors, who was provided 3 months of consideration before his decision to resign, and then the resignation was accepted. That's a reasonable democratic way for things to work. The Board of Publications acted as a support mechanism for our magazine's editor until they realized that, in fact, she was unable to continue performing the role of safeguarding the rights of all readers of the magazine. Our democracy is messy. It's loud. It's rough on all of our feelings sometimes, but it does work, and it is working today. And maybe I want to make just one final remark about this, because I think it's important to say. The discussion that we have about employment positions is one thing. The discussion about people is another. And please understand, I'm not saying, and I don't think anybody else would say, anything, that there's anything bad about what anyone has done as a person. The question here is how you handle yourself, not as a member of ACB, but as an employee of ACB. These are good folks. Penny and Charlie are good folks. They're members of ACB. They're great people. Maybe the employment thing didn't work, but that's a separate issue. Moving on to point two, the idea that ACB is fast approaching financial insolvency. Perhaps a better way of stating this is that ACB will be heading toward insolvency if we don't get a handle on our spending patterns. We do have a reserve fund in the bank, and it has over $300,000 in it right now, even though we've been using it for some time. The unfortunate truth is that we have consistently outspent our consistently available annual resources since at least 1999. In the past couple of these years, in the first couple of these years, ACB was bolstered by large bequests. You may remember one year we had over a $450,000 bequest. That saved us a big way that year. When I assumed the presidency in 2001, I knew, and I believe many of you knew, we needed to focus on getting more revenue into this organization. Unfortunately, our focus before 2003 was more on governing expenses than on increasing revenue. Upon the resignation of the executive director, ACB employed, and here's where I'm getting into the idea of what are we doing to fix this. I know people have asked about that, and I want to address that. We employed the services of an extremely competent fundraiser and friend ACB, a former employee, Laura Oftedal. I know many of you know Laura out there. In the short time she has been with us, Laura has already put into the pipeline requests for grant funding well in excess of $150,000, with a lot more to come. That, I believe, will be really significant to ACB. It's not part of the budget you'll see this weekend because we don't have the money yet, but the applications are out there, the upfront work is done, the boilerplates are ready. We're in a better position than we have been in at least the last 5 to 10 years to seek significant grant funding to support our programs. Second, in late 2001, the Resource Development Committee recommended that ACB seek vehicle donation funds in areas that would not compete with our affiliates. I'm not casting any blame on any individual, but it frustrates me, and I think we talked about this last summer, about the amount of time things take. It's frustrating to look back and realize that it took a long time to get a working contract in place for the vehicle donation process. Something we talked about late in 2001 didn't bring us any real income until the middle to late 2003. But that's okay. At this point, it's water under the bridge, and I'm happy to stand here this morning and tell you that vehicle donation is becoming a significant part of ACB's funding life. It's working. It's bringing new money into us. It's part of how we are diversifying raising money in ACB. And I believe, and I think the data shows, at least so far, that source of funding will continue to grow. We have three additional potential large sources of fund diversification and several smaller ones currently in place or in the planning stage. One of these three is a program in which you can help us greatly. You've heard about it already this morning, and you'll probably hear about it more and be good and sick of it by the time the weekend's over. But that is the monthly monetary support program. I know that many of you out there give to ACB annually. And that's not to say that that's a bad thing. In fact, it's a great thing. Many of you can only give to ACB annually. And I understand that. And this is not in any way to suggest you shouldn't do that or that one is better than the other. So please hear that. Personally, because I work and it's easy to do, for years and years, I have been a monthly donor to ACB. I've done it through United Way. But I found out, and I'm sharing this so you're all aware of it, that the United Way donations don't work as well for ACB as a direct individual contribution. The amount of money that I give in every paycheck to ACB might come minus 50% to ACB in 3 or 6 months after it goes out of my paycheck. I don't want that. I want my money to go to ACB directly. And so I mention this so you're aware of the difficulty and how hard it is to track your contribution to ACB when it isn't made directly. So if you choose to do a monthly contribution, that'd be great. This program is another program that came from the Resource Committee Initiatives of 2001. And while it's been slow again to get off the ground, the program is bringing in real dollars to ACB today. We have the people power within ACB to allow this program with relatively small contributions by many. And by that, I'm talking about, you know, between $15 to $35, either every 2 weeks or a month or whatever works for you. But relatively small contributions to yield at least $250,000 annually for ACB. This is not a pipe dream. We have the people with a small amount of
you are listening to the speech Chris Gray presented at the President's mid-year meeting. We will be taking calls as soon as the speech is through.
We have tables and people here this weekend, as you know, and if you're willing and able to sign up, I hope that you do. And don't just take a form. We have given out so many hundreds of these forms that never come back. If you want to do it, sign up this weekend. We've got volunteers to help you do that and help you get over that hurdle. Okay. moving now to number three of my first 3 points. There seems to be perhaps an unspoken but palpable sense from certain quarters that I as president and the board of directors have collectively acted in bad faith or somehow out of integrity with the membership of ACB. While not believing this is true, I am sensitive to and mindful of the perceived criticism. Hopefully, as this weekend progresses, you will hear from others on the board. I may ask you tomorrow in our wrap-up about your perceptions at that point, about how we're doing, about how the discussion has gone over the weekend. None of us is perfect, least of all me. And concluding this portion of my remarks, I'd like to reiterate some of the many democratic activities that have occurred just since the 2003 convention in Pittsburgh. First, I held 2 meetings with the leadership of ACB to discuss the Crawford resignation. I hope many found these discussions productive and helpful. Second, I held a town hall style meeting with presidents to discuss the 2004 legislative seminar and some of our funding impacts for the seminar. And third, this past Wednesday evening, I invited all readers, kind of an expansion of the previous ideas, I invited all readers of the Braille Forum to phone me on a toll-free number and provide input about the distribution of minutes within ACB. And that was a great call, I got to say. I wondered what it would be like. I wondered if people who felt really angry about the issue would call and be upset. I wondered how far afield the discussion might go in addition to minutes. But really, it was a wonderful experience for me. I know there's a couple of you here who were there for that call. I hope you felt the same way. It reminded me of something very important, and that is how much better it can be to communicate with each other either face-to-face or by phone. I think perhaps we've made some pretty grievous mistakes in ACB by allowing ourselves to communicate too much by email and get too carried away with our rhetoric. And as I say, I'm right there with you guys. I did it. We have forgotten to approach one another as people who care about each other. And that's okay. We can't change that. We can't change what we did. But we can change what we do, and we can change how we do things in the future. I came away from that phone call on Wednesday so energized at the ability to have a meaningful, open dialogue with people. I don't know if they liked everything I said. I'm not sure if I was comfortable with some of the things that were said to me. I was taken to task for some things pretty severely. But that's okay, because we had a chance to talk about it and not just begin writing a lot of daggers at each other. Now let me tell you about a couple other positives. I've been through some pretty heavy stuff here, and I'm sorry for that. I know that it's information we have to talk about, and so that's why I've done it. But I don't want you to go away from this presentation, and I know we're not going to go away from this meeting, with only these events on our mind. There's a lot of positives that have happened in ACB, even since July. Sometimes I sit down and I just remind myself what they are so I don't get too depressed about some of the negatives. There's got to be negatives sometimes, and we can accept that. But think about some of the great stuff we've done as well. For example, how about those network radio PSAs? I know a lot of you heard them, and it was very exciting. And Ralph, I want to acknowledge the work of you and your committee to make that happen. The first time in our history that we had PSAs on a national network radio. In the long term, think about the difference that makes, not only about people's perception of blindness, but can make for people's recognition of ACB, who it is, who we are. It's incredible. Okay, now I got a big one for you. This is not an ironclad guarantee, because you can't make ironclad guarantees in this business. And later on I'll find some time and let Ralph Sanders and Charlie Hodge tell you more. But the upcoming legislative seminar very likely will have a major, wonderful event for ACB. That is that we will have a presentation about our ACB history, a presentation about ACB's needs and beliefs for legislation for the blind, and it's going to be covered nationwide by C-SPAN. You guys know I love technology, and I know you love technology. So now I want to tell you a technology idea. It's going to be exciting. And it's, again, in the planning stages. There's been quite a lot of talk about voting and how votes are cast and how voting is a hallmark of democracy. There's no doubt about that. And I said a number of months ago on a ACBL, perhaps, on leadership, I forget where all I said it because there are so many lists going on these days. I said we were trying to do some work in this area. So let me put an image in your mind and give you something to look forward to we haven't talked about yet for the convention this summer in Alabama. Does anybody out there know what an RFID tag is? It's kind of like a barcode. You know, they put the barcodes for recognition on soup cans and boxes of merchandise and so forth. By the end of 2005, every box in Walmart will have an RFID tag. Right now, in the Bay Area in San Francisco, there are experiments being done in grocery stores where the groceries in the store are all tagged with these little radio frequency IDs. You run your shopping cart through a gate, kind of like a security gate at an airport. The cart goes through. In 10 seconds, your receipt with all your itemized groceries and their prices is printing out at the cash register. That's the power of these RFID tags. As you know, ACB has been working diligently and constantly trying to create corporate relationships. And we talk a little more about this each time. We get a little bit further down the road with those corporate relationships. One that could be, and I believe will be, very exciting for ACB is with a company that holds many of the patents on these RFID tags. Okay, so imagine this. You know, today we do the voting by count. And I imagine this summer we'll do the voting by count again. But as an experiment, either in your packets or maybe as you come in the door, you'll get an envelope. And in that envelope will be 10 circles and 10 squares, little pieces of paper, pieces of plastic. When it comes time for a roll call vote, and I'm being simplistic here, let's say it's a yes or a no. The yes is a round circle, and the no is a square. Take one of your items, whichever you prefer, and drop it into a container that goes down the rows. That container is taken up in the front, and 10 seconds later, the vote is tallied. There's no errors. You know your vote got counted. You don't have to wonder if your row got missed, and it is a way of bringing a whole new technique into the voting system of ACB. There's a lot of great stuff going on that we're doing, and I want to focus on that over the weekend as well. In conclusion, and I really do mean in conclusion now. You see, you're lucky I'm almost done. In conclusion, this has been... I heard that. This has been one of the roughest periods I've known in ACB with regard to our being able to work together through consensus and understanding. I want you to know that I find no fault with anyone for this. I firmly believe and know in my heart that we're going to find ways of achieving new consensus and better positive communications together. Gaining consensus is one of the hardest things organizations do. And why should we be exempt from that? I want you to know that I'm here this weekend to be a part of a solution as well as to learn from all of our other agenda items. We will have a facilitated discussion this afternoon to give everybody a chance to speak their minds on key issues. Let us all make this session and the whole weekend a basis for moving forward rather than only looking back. That, my friends, is ACB at its best and the finest tribute to the history of our organization we could ever provide. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was a talk given by President Chris Gray during the most recent mid-year board meeting. And Chris, let me bring you in for just a second. We actually already have a caller on hold who's been holding for quite a bit, so I want to make sure we get to him. But before we take our first call at 1-866-666-7926, did you have anything you wanted to quickly add?
Well, we've moved a ways from that presentation, and I think in many regards it's been a positive movement. I think that it's my hope that tonight we might be able to do in microcosm what was accomplished during the mid-year weekend, and if we don't get it all done, Marlene, and there's a ton of calls still waiting at the end, we can try doing it again and have more people talking and having their say. I also would like to say that I know that Earlene Hughes has the entire president's meeting now. She just received it a few days ago from Mike Duke, who was putting it on to CD and cleaning it up a bit and so forth. And fairly soon now, the whole meeting will be up on the ACB website for those who would like to hear some of the other sessions that were referred to during my presentation. But having said that, I think we should just go
okay,
to the calls and see how it goes.
Let's get to the calls, and I would very much welcome an extension if we need to do that. Good evening, caller. You're with Marlena and Chris Grave. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Good evening. My name is Carlos Montes. I am calling from Tallahassee, Florida. I'm a student at Florida State University. And I actually had the pleasure of interning at ACB's national office in Washington last summer. And I just wanted to say a few remarks or had a few thoughts.
Sure, please go ahead.
On Chris's speech. First of all, I will say that I think Chris is right in his assessment that this has probably been one of the more difficult times. I mean, at least ever since I have been a member of ACB, and I think consensus is a difficult thing to achieve. I would say that my experience there was a positive one. I certainly learned a great deal.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm also just also have to say that. I think also that there is still a lot of work to be done. I think we all need to work together to really keep in mind the goal in hand. You know, we're trying to improve the lives of every blind person across this nation and around the world. And you know, I'm certainly me as an individual committed to that. And just want to say that you have my support. You know, as a member, and like you said, you know, we're not perfect, but always please, you know, keep in mind other people's views, and you know, most importantly, you know, it's just so important to reach consensus. You know, we need to really establish that. That's one of the principles of this organization. So,
well, thanks very much, Carlos, and thank you very much for being an ACB student intern, because we. You guys do us a lot of good in the summer in the organization, and part of the way I began my own involvement in ACB was by becoming a student intern, and as you can see, I've never left the organization, so, but no, I appreciate your comments, and I think what you're saying is very true, and it's what we have to work on. The more we can focus on helping one another, the less we'll focus on things that may, from moment to moment, divide us. And if we can focus on the positive things and on really helping each other and helping blind people, ultimately, we're going to be in great shape.
Thank you so much for the call, Carlos.
Thank you very much.
It's very nice to meet you. Have a good evening.
You too.
The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. We have another call. Let's bring the caller in. Good evening, caller. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Good evening. This is Mike Capel calling out of Wisconsin.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, President Gray. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I just want to make a few comments, and I've got a few questions for you.
Okay. And I'm going to ask everyone to be as succinct as you can so we get everybody in. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, first of all, I just want to let you know that I'm very supportive of the new RFID tags. I think that's going to be great. I can't wait until we can finally vote independently without having to do absentee ballots.
Right, okay.
And I'm glad that we are moving forward and we're making some good progress in the council. I'm also proud to be a member now of the council. I was kind of absent there for a few years, but I'm back now. And
welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm proud to be back. And then a few questions for you is, number one, what is your plan or your views on the, I know I read in the forum about informed choice, so you had that meeting with RSA President Joanne Wilson, and I'm a big believer in the informed choice. I think that blind people should have choices on where they should go and, you know, not be tied to their, you know, specific state training, you know.
Okay, and can we let Chris answer your question? Go ahead, Chris.
Yes. Well, ACB is absolutely in favor of the idea of informed choice. We know there are certain complications with informed choice. And one of the arguments that is often made in opposition to that idea is, well, if a blind person can choose what they want, why don't they just go in and sit down at a computer, check a few boxes, and hit the go button, and informed choice says you don't need rehabilitation. Well, that's not true. I do understand, and I think that the membership of ACB understands, that of course we rely on rehabilitation professionals to help us, in especially a newly blinded person, in knowing what might be possible, what is more doable than what is not as doable, and so forth. What we're really objecting to, and one of the basic reasons that ACB is promoting the idea of informed choice, is that we're aware of the growing number of centers in this country and rehabilitation facilities in this country that say there's one way and one way only for rehabilitation of the blind to work. We have a big concern that while there are many things about that one way that are probably positive, there are things that are not positive, and there are things that create situations where only the best, the most well-adjusted blind consumers will make it through these rehabilitation programs. And we want rehabilitation to be able to serve all blind people. You shouldn't have to be a superstar. You should be able to come with a variety of levels of ability and find something for you at a rehabilitation center.
I agree.
And that's what informed choice means.
Okay. And, Mike, did you have another question? We can take one more question.
Okay, one more. This is just a probably just a personal preference, but what is your feeling or opinion on cane length? I hear so many people say... It's up to the elbow. Then I hear people say,
well,
no, it's up to your head. Then I hear people say, no, it's up to your nose. What do you recommend?
Well, you know, I would say, first of all, there's no one right answer. And here's where a professional can be of great assistance to you. A professional person well-versed in cane travel training can so easily watch your gait, the length of your step, the security that you walk around with, all those things go into a decision about the right cane length for you. I think traditionally blind people tended to carry very short, fairly useless canes that they would overstep all the time. As a reaction to that now, there's an awful lot of us that carry extraordinarily long canes.
That's me.
That can actually be as much of a difficulty as a help, but they may provide more security. Maybe it's too much security. It depends on the individual.
Okay.
I'll tell you myself. I'm about 5'8", and I carry a 54 or a 56-inch cane.
But oh, that is, you keep the good work,
absolutely a personal decision.
Boy, I'm going to stay on Chris's good side with that long cane. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. Have a good evening.
Thanks
the
a lot.
Telephone number is 1-866-666-7926, and we are trying to give folks as much time with Chris, but also kind of get the questions going as well. While we're waiting for the next caller, Chris, sometimes we experience a little delay because of the internet delay.
Sure.
And I will interrupt me or you if the phone rings here. But I'd like to go back a little bit into your talk and
okay.
into kind of touching on some of the things that certainly I've heard running around since ACB began experiencing some of these trials.
Sure.
We talk about we got to reach compromise. We got to work together. We have to heal. What is that process? What do you propose that we do as our leader? What is your first step here in terms of bringing this to happen? Not just what we got to do, but tell us how to do it.
Well, Marlana, I don't know if I can tell you a first step exactly, but let me, if you'll allow me, tell you a couple of steps and without prioritizing what they might necessarily be, because maybe they ought to be all happening together. But here are the plans that I have in mind, or the things that have been on the verge of or beginning to be executed. One thing we need to do is to, the board determined back in July, actually, to create an office review committee and to review the policies that are used in ACB's personnel process, and to think about creating some better guidelines under which ACB governs personnel issues throughout the organization.
And I'm going to stop you right there so we can bring this caller in. Can you hold that thought?
Yes.
All right. Good evening, caller. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
This is Jeff Bishop from Tucson, Arizona.
Hello,
hey,
Jeff.
Hello. Chris, I have a question. I'll make this very short and succinct.
All right.
I think my main concern right now is the funds that are available for ACB to continue.
Right.
And one of the things, sorry, the cat's acting up here.
we don't allow that on my program, Jeff.
Yeah, well, we have a guide dog and a cat in the house, so it's kind of an interesting dynamic. But anyway, so that's one of the real big things that concerns me. And I was wondering, obviously the Braille form costs quite a bit to produce, both in Braille as well as cassette and large print. And I was wondering what you might be considering in trying to move those that are currently getting the form in those medias to electronic media only, to try to reduce the cost of the form itself, because I know that's a very large item as far as the budget.
Okay. You're correct in that the Braille form is a high-ticket item for ACB, one of the higher-ticket items. In round numbers, if you look at the current costs in ACB and you take the materials cost for producing each issue, and you make a stab at including the personnel costs and so forth, more the hidden costs of the Braille form, we believe that the form is costing ACB approximately $20,000 per issue.
Oof.
And that's very well backed up and documented by Jim Olson, our chief financial officer. And for those who know Jim, you know that documentation is substantial, because Jim doesn't like to reach a number without having the right backup for it. That's a pretty firm number, and I think we can have a lot of confidence in that number. As far as reducing the cost goes, I hesitate to advocate for reducing cost by encouraging people to get electronic issues as a real solution to the problem. If you want to get the electronic edition, by all means, I would say go for it. But there are so few blind people, percentage-wise, who are in fact computer users, that to embark on a program that would really significantly try and move the readership base over to computer users might not be the best thing for your just run-of-the-mill, average, everyday blind person.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the percentage was, so.
It's pretty low, Jeff. I mean, if you look at the statistics produced by Microsoft, they're not ACB statistics, they indicate that computer use is so significantly less among the blind population that it's a matter that has been raised for concern within Microsoft.
Did you have any other questions, Jeff?
Nope.
All right.
Keep up the great work, Chris. You're doing
a good job,
okay?
Thanks so much
for calling, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. 1-866-666-7926. Okay, so getting back to the...
The Office Review Committee has not been as active in working on those procedures as it might have been. So many other things have come along and been on our plate that we have not been as active, but we are gearing up and working on that project. I think it's not fair, and it has to some extent been the case, that we have asked ACB staff to work for the organization without a clear set of principles governing the relationship between employees and members of ACB.
And I'm going to stop you right there. We have another call.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, Marlena. This is Viola Cruz from Washington State.
Hi, Viola.
Hey, Viola.
I want to say hello to Chris, and I just want to make a comment. I do really, we really support you down up here. You know that.
Well, thank you.
And we understand how difficult it's been. I just wanted to make a comment, you know, because we're, you know, it's really been difficult to read all this.
Yes, it has sometimes. I have to agree with you on that.
But, you know, I know it can't be difficult to lead a national organization as large as this with, you know, diverse members and people in different parts of the country who have different either Christian values or whatever it is, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do it from day to day. I think I would probably be in the insane asylum by now, but we do support you, and you know, we'll be there in Birmingham to cheer you on, whatever happens down there.
Well, thank you, Viola. I appreciate that, and I always appreciate the Washington delegation because you cheer the loudest and wake me up the best at 8:30 in the morning every day.
8:00 in the morning, right.
Okay, did you have anything else, Viola?
No, that was all. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for calling and have a good evening. The number is 1-866-666-7926. Okay, so back to...
So that's one thing. I think another item, and I haven't talked about this very much in public, so I don't want to make any real strong commitments, but it's come to me in working with Laura and chatting with her and talking with Melanie and talking with other staff members. And it seems to me that another part of our problem is that perhaps the organization has not visited enough together about medium to long-range strategies in the organization. We have a long-range plan that was adopted in 1995. It is the conventional wisdom today in nonprofits, and maybe it's the wisdom that we should take advantage of, that organizations, because of the greater communication that goes on, because of some of the difficulties that can get started in not handling ourselves quite like we should in email, et cetera, organizations are coming to believe in the nonprofit sector that you need to sit down with a core group of your membership about every 5 years and create for yourself a new long-range plan. And in doing that, you will help gather consensus together about who you are as an organization and what you want to do in the coming 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. It's also fair to say that ACB did not follow through on certain elements of our 1995 long-range plan. And I got to tell you, Marlena, I hesitated. I did discuss in 2001, upon assuming the presidency, the idea of reviving that plan, of bringing it back, and trying to finish many of the things that we had not finished between 1995 and 2001. There was not a lot of support for that on the board. I also think there was not an understanding on the board or within the membership of the fact that ACB was coming to a crossroads where there was going to be some severe difference of opinion within the membership and the leadership of ACB about what the organization needed to do. And there is a difference today, and I think we need perhaps to think about a long-range plan to solve it. A long-range plan costs money, though. We had more money in 1995 for this kind of activity than we have had for the last several years, and I've hesitated to recommend spending the money on a plan. It's not something you can easily do just by saying, we're going to make a long-range plan. You really need to have some outside facilitation. You need to fund some meetings. It doesn't just happen by itself. But, you know, there are too many issues that I think we need to talk about as an organization. There's this whole personnel membership issue we've got to get straightened
out. Yes, I wanted to actually go back to that.
Yeah, but just let me finish one thought. There's the issue regarding the things that we need to be advocating for. We have a lot of members who are pleased and excited about hot-button programs like video description, and they believe in video description, but they also believe that ACB has dropped the ball when it comes to Social Security and specialized programs like the Randolph Shepherd Vendor Program or NIB programs. And we need to find a way to bring some balance or some consensus across the membership of ACB on those kinds of issues. Okay, so you want to go back maybe to...
Yeah, I kind of cut you off so many times during the first bit of what you were discussing with the committee that you're forming to work mm-hmm. with office procedures, policy manuals, etc. And you know, this is such a difficult issue for us all, quite frankly, because no matter what you believe, you've seen good people be hurt. You've seen good lives be made quite difficult. And so my question is, going back to what you're proposing here, is it your vision that once this document or set of documents is completed, that things like, and I'll use the example you gave in your president's talk, that an employee found it difficult perhaps to separate herself from her individual advocacy and her work as an ACB staff person. Mm-hmm. Is it your vision then that these documents, once created and implemented, will help to clarify those lines?
Yes. We have got to create more clarification on, particularly on that issue, but some other personnel-related issues as well. It's very, very difficult, and believe me, I understand it. I've been there, and I know you've been there too. You care about ACB, and you cannot help but have your personal opinions and ideas about what ought to happen in ACB. And yet, we have this little issue when you walk in the front door of the office of knowing how to handle yourself as an employee of ACB as opposed to being a member of ACB. And there is inherent conflict in that. We don't give our employees anywhere near enough guidance in how to handle that conflict. And maybe it's never come up in the ways it has now, but since it has come up, let's deal with it and put together a document that the review committee feels is good. Let them run it by the board. And it whether we would codify that into governing language for the organization or into an employee manual, I'm not sure. I'm inclined to think it just needs to go into an employee manual. But we can talk about that, make that decision a little bit later on. The one thing I do know for certain is it's got to be written up, and it's got to be something that we sit down with staff, with board members, and it has been suggested, and I think I'm inclined to include a couple of affiliate presidents in this group now that things have become as controversial as they have in making some decisions about what this document needs to say.
I see. The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926, and we are with President Chris Gray, President of ACB. This is the opportunity that we'd like to present, possibly the first of many here on ACB Radio, on the Marlena program for you to interact directly with Chris. There has certainly been enough discussion going around that the current administration isn't listening, doesn't respond, etc. So this is an opportunity to open doors. After this next question, I'd like to go into the chat room, see if we have any questions there.
Okay.
But before we do that, Chris, would you briefly speak along the lines, again, of communicating with members about the monthly call-ins on the Let's Meet number?
I sure will. I did a few experiments, as you heard about in the presentation. I had no idea how many people would call in. And I know when we announced the first call-in for leaders, We went through this very complex process. People had to get a hold of Donna Seliger and let her know, and she kept a list, et cetera, because we thought, you know, what if 80 people call up? How do you manage an 80-person conference call? And our conference calling system is not without its limits. What we found so far is that we tend to run anywhere from 12, 15, 20 people on a call. And thus far, anyway, they've been pretty well self-governing. People tend to come and go, and they don't get too big, and they're not hard to manage. After a few experiments with presidents, we began to expand the calls a little bit. We tried the minutes call. And now, every third Wednesday of the month, it has been announced there will be an open call between 6:30 and 8 o'clock Pacific time. That would be 9:30 and 11 Eastern time, et cetera, et cetera. You call a telephone number that's in the Braille forum, and you have a user ID of Let's Talk. And anybody who is aware of this from the Braille forum or from our listservs is welcome to call in and participate. We had our first of these calls on Wednesday. I'm happy to say that most of the people who called in are not computer users. So we were able to really talk with and answer some questions of people who came to us directly from the Braille forum. And you know, I'm not anti-technology, and I'm certainly in favor of reaching out in any way that we can electronically to our membership. I think it's fair to say that a substantial amount of the current controversy has been spurred on and significantly and perhaps even inappropriately widened, enlarged by a very small group of people on the Internet. This is unfortunate. It's not fair for the organization. It's not fair for the board of directors. And we do need to reach out to and to hear from more of the rank-and-file membership of ACB.
All
I hope we can do that in these calls.
And let's reach out into the chat room here for a moment and see if there are any questions. What we do, Chris, is we'll take, and for others listening on the mainstream, we'll take about a 4-second pause here and see if anyone comes in with questions. And I will sort of chat while we wait. We've unkeyed in the chat room, and it would appear that we don't have any questions from the chat room right now, which is fine. Let me make sure I'm back here where I need to be, speaking of technology. all right, I think we are. I'd like to bring up perhaps another difficult issue, but one that I feel needs airing and addressing. And that is the whole matter of the Braille Free Press site. There are people on both sides of this discussion who will say that the braille-free-press.org shouldn't have been there, and there are people who will say, yes, everyone has the right to say what they want to say, and then suddenly the site has disappeared. And I'd like to kind of pull the rock out from behind that and ask you to talk about that a bit.
Okay. Let me first talk about it just in terms of providing some general information, but I won't dodge the issue. I will tell you my own personal opinions about this as well. The crux of the issue, when you step back and just look at it in terms of issues, has to do with the name Braille Free Press. That name is identified with and has always been identified with the American Council of the Blind. We began, in a sense, from the group of people in 1958 who formed a small group called the Federation Free Press and who later on changed their organizational name to the Braille Free Press. And it was this small group that put out the Braille Free Press magazine from inside the NFB, but nevertheless as a separate entity, a separate group, through June of 1961. In July, when ACB was formed, at the very same time, the Braille Free Press Association held a meeting at which they dissolved and turned over all their assets to ACB, including specifically by designation the name Braille Free Press. Getting to my own opinion now, it is that ACB clearly owns that name. There is no doubt in my mind about it, and I think that the history is there for all to read who care to read it. Now, it's unfortunate that in 2004, in the society that we live in today, the issue of names is a fairly controversial and difficult issue. Names and the use of names are governed, generally speaking, by trademark. And ACB has certainly not done as comprehensive a job as it might in guarding against the misuse of those names it believes are trademarks of ACB. You don't necessarily have to register a trademark, but it is a darn good idea to do so. ACB has not done so because we haven't wanted to spend the money. But clearly in this case, with a person choosing to use the name Braille Free Press, we would have been on absolutely uncontestable ground had we previously registered that name. Because we didn't, we had to defend the organization against the use of that name, and did so. The executive committee voted to do so. The board confirmed at a later time the decision of the executive committee, and ACB did hire an attorney, a fairly notable attorney in the issues of name, trademark, intellectual property, to help us secure the the name and to not allow someone else to use it. It is most unfortunate that the person who chose to use it did so as a disgruntled employee of the organization. However, that made ACB's case far stronger than it might otherwise have been. And we, as an organization, need to understand that a trademark is no different than any other piece of property of an organization. It is as much a piece of property as a cassette machine or a set of books in your office. Yes, it's only a name, but in fact, names do matter. What would we do, for example, had someone just decided to start publishing some issues of a magazine they chose to call the Braille Forum? Would that be defensible in the minds of the membership? I don't think so. Now, I can understand that some members may say, well, how important is the name Braille Free Press to ACB? Certainly a legitimate question. My answer is, it's probably pretty darned important, and that's why this former employee chose to use it to make public a great deal of information that was on the site. Now, moving to the information itself, I could bring up some issues with regard to whether or not that information should have been published in a public manner. It involves correspondence that was not sent by people with an intention that correspondence be made public. However, I read the site. I felt I should see what was in there. And the issue in my mind, and I'm speaking primarily for myself at this point because I know there are other points of view about this, the issue of what was published is not of significant concern to me. I was not quoted as saying anything on that site that I would not be willing to defend in public before any member of ACB, and frankly, in many cases, it suited me just fine for the membership to be able to read that material, although I would never have released it, because, in my opinion, it reflected badly on the person who actually did release it. That goes to show you how different points of view can bring you to different conclusions, but my issue and ACB's primary issue was not with the content. It was with the fact that the name belonged to ACB, and we weren't going to allow someone, and we will not allow someone, to use names or the ACB logo or the name ACB in any way, regardless of whether it's in favor of the organization or in opposition to the organization, without prior permission and authorization.
So do I understand you to say then that the concern over the site was not so much, at least from your personal viewpoint, was not so much what was on the site, but actually the name under which the information was published?
That was the fundamental issue. Now, it is. I do want to say, Marlene, it must be said in the cause of full disclosure, the issue of the information on the site was a topic that was discussed during the negotiations regarding the settlement of the matter. But it was discussed primarily in the sense of, hey, and you know, the stuff you have up here really does violate ACB's copyright. However, the board did not wish that issue to be pressed, and that was not an issue that was involved in the vast majority of the negotiations. The information has been taken off. Penny agreed to take the information off, but it is not because ACB insisted it be taken off. It's for another reason, and I'm not entirely comfortable to say what that reason is.
I assume that that's because it's part of whatever the negotiations are, and frequently negotiations can't be publicly disclosed.
Well, we're not bound by confidentiality. Well, you know, if I don't now I'm in a box. If I don't say, it'll be people will be wondering, and rightly so. basically, there were a lot of things on the table with regard to negotiating a settlement with Penny. And one of those things had to do with whether or not, if this matter had to be reopened, how legal fees might or might not be handled. In order to take the legal fee issue off the table, Penny proposed, and I think in a very genuine way, I think that she was trying to find a solution, and I compliment her for that. She proposed that if we would take the issue of further litigation and payment off the table, though we had not raised it as a demand or a requirement, that she was prepared to offer in exchange the removal of the information from the website. We felt that that was a good faith offer, and so we accepted it.
The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. I keep checking my other line here. I'm surprised that it's as quiet as it is. So you're
maybe
either...
we're just being exciting. People don't want to, you know, interrupt us.
I was going to say we're either covering the bases quite nicely, Christopher, or we're intriguing people and they're on the edge of their chair. We'd love to have you call. And again, this can be the first of many opportunities to bring Chris on to the Marlena program. I'm going to move the topic here just a bit, and looking toward the summer. We've heard references to Birmingham. Saved by the bell, Christopher.
Okay.
We're going to bring the caller in. Good evening, caller. You're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Dave McElroy, Vice LA, California. Good afternoon. And good
evening, Dave.
Chris.
Hello, Dave. And what's your question?
Okay, I got a couple of questions. One is, I've changed my mind a bit. I was originally quite a proponent of vehicle donation. I now wonder if it's wise for ACB to get involved in that, because aren't we by basically going into the used car business, which is ostensibly what we're doing, are we not denying, are we not getting away from the blind people aren't going to drive. We are. I just think we're maybe making a double statement that we need not be making. Your opinion, Chris?
Well, a couple things. I can certainly see where you're coming from, but let me just tell you a few things about how vehicle donation works, and that might help help you with your thinking on this. The vehicle donation process is undertaken on behalf of ACB by a third-party purveyor of service. They rely on ACB or on any one of our many affiliates who participate in this to approve advertising, to work with them in ways that make sure the program is representing blind people accurately and so forth. As far as the picking up of cars, the selling of cars, the auctioning of cars, and so forth, ACB is not involved. It's handled entirely by the third-party services that are contracted with, and they provide ACB a share of the profit in exchange for that. So it's a pretty sweet deal for our affiliates and for ACB, because the only involvement that we have directly is in guaranteeing that our integrity is upheld by the vehicle donation service that we contract with.
Maybe. I feel that by in we are tacitly, and I say this, engaging ourselves in this, we may be tacitly saying that public transit doesn't work, and therefore we may be at least implicitly working against ourselves. That's the way I have come to feel after a lot of reflection on this.
Getting
back to the free press issue had been discussed earlier. Isn't there rather a difference between, you said that, well, how would you feel if somebody used the name the Braille Forum. Well, obviously everybody gets either in their email or in cassette or computer or format, gets a magazine that's called the Braille Forum. That is a name that is synonymous and has been for 40 years. It's there.
Yes.
The name Free Press has not been, not since 1961. Why all the hubbub? I still don't understand. To me, it probably, and by the way, by that time she would have been a disgruntled ex-employee, not an employee.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you to let Chris go ahead and answer the question. Why all the hubbub? Okay. That's a good question.
Well, I think it is a good question, and here's where we get into the realm of opinion and having to make a decision based on some core beliefs that you may hold somewhere deep down in your psyche. It certainly is the case that trademarks are generally supposed to be used in order for a person to keep their trademark. And there's been a great deal said about that on the Internet, and I don't disagree with it. There is a three-year rule about the usage of a trademark. But let me say that, as a legal point, that usage is entirely rebuttable and is not by any means the end of the story. Do we care, as an organization, after 40-some-odd years, about the name Braille Free Press? That's something that each individual has to ask him or herself. I believe that Penny knew that ACB members cared very much about the name Braille Free Press, and that it was her choice to use that name as a vehicle to publish a magazine, to promote any of the things that she promoted in the issues that she put out. Whether or not you think ACB should defend its right as an organization to maintain the use of that name and the control of that name is something that you have to ask yourself individually. To me, it's a no-brainer. There is no doubt it's ACB's name. It always has been, and we needed to guarantee it. And a significant number of the board agreed with me, and we did that.
Okay, and Dave has actually clicked off, so the line is free, 1-866-666-7926. And I'm just going to make a really quick comment about the vehicle donation program. And as a member of an affiliate who is using the program and seeing very nice returns, I think it's a real stretch, Dave, to get to where you're kind of concerned that it might go. It truly is a fundraising vehicle, and if you could actually also look at it as blind folks providing sighted folks with a service of a good tax write-off as well. So there are many ways to see one thing, that's for sure. Going back to my question here before we receive another call, Birmingham in the summer. Are you concerned?
Well, I'll answer that in two ways. I really get anxious before every convention because there are so many things that could possibly go wrong. There's always this and that we don't want to talk about publicly because it's going to get solved. But I think to myself, but what if it doesn't? Birmingham was difficult to contemplate early on because we even had our own affiliate in Alabama concerned about Birmingham. And we had...
Is that a used car that you...
Well, it may be.
Would you have them pick that vehicle up, please?
Oh, boy. And we still do have some concerns, but I actually have come to the conclusion that there are so many cool things that are going to go on in the Alabama convention that between the affiliate and all the work they've done, and Carla and Cynthia and all the work they've done, we're going to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
So
the tours are going to be fantastic.
Okay, but you know what? I'm gonna pin you back here.
Okay.
My question is not, are you concerned about the convention? My question is, are you, Chris Gray, president of ACB, concerned about reactions from membership, whatever that may take for you?
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I misinterpreted your question.
Oh, I know you didn't. I wouldn't let you get away with that.
No, I'm not concerned. Do I have some belief that it may be a controversial convention? Absolutely. But I can honestly say to you, I'm not concerned because I believe in the membership of ACB. I believe that a vast majority of the membership already knows and will come to understand during the convention that a great many of the issues that have been so controversial can be resolved and resolved amicably in the organization. There's going to be a lot of resolutions, and there's going to be a lot more discussion of Constitution and bylaws than has been the case in previous years, stemming from what's gone on. But that, I think, is positive. That involves the organization, and it will help each member get invested in the way things do work in ACB and the way they should work in ACB. That can only be for the betterment of the organization.
And I'm gonna
I may be uncomfortable now and then. I may have a moment or two of difficulty, as will some other people. But that's fine. I think that's ultimately a positive thing.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there and bring in this call. We have a bit of a noisy line, but let's try it. Hello, caller. You're with Chris and Marlena. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is John Gormley.
Yes, hello, John.
Hey, John.
Hello, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And can we get your question, John? Unfortunately, you've got a really noisy line there.
Oh, okay. Well, let me switch to a different phone. Maybe that will
Well,
help.
That's okay. Let's just get to your question.
Anyway, that wasn't really a question as much as it was a comment. I think what Chris is saying about how the convention is going to go is probably true. I'm sorry that there's been as much dissension on the Internet as there has been. And I'm even sorrier that I'm going to miss it this year because I think it is going to be a very interesting convention. And
well,
I just wanted to wish you well.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, and we will miss you at the convention.
Well, John, you can tune into ACB Radio, and if not,
there you go.
Hear it live, at least hear it in the recap.
Well, I'm going to try and do that. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to work at the airport, so I'm not going to be able to be there, but I'm looking forward to hearing all the good things that come out of it.
Well, we look forward to being able to broadcast it for you.
Thank you.
Did you have anything else for Chris?
No, that ought to do it.
All right, sir.
Thanks, John.
You have a good night. Ah, okay. Boy, I tell you, sometimes the technology of telephones, you know, you go back to the old days of noisy lines. Okay, so let's see. We've got about another 15 minutes, give or take. I never do math very quickly in my head. So I want to make sure that folks know that. And we also have another call. So let's bring the caller on. Let me push the right button. Good evening, caller. You're with Chris and Marlena. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Okay, this is Michael Killian from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello,
hey, Michael.
Is it too late to suggest a topic for a resolution?
Oh, I don't think so. No, it's not too late until first couple days of the convention.
Because I have a suggestion for a resolution that really ought to be addressed, and that is the subject of accessible cable boxes.
Okay.
We've got cable boxes today that, among other things, have video on demand.
Yes.
And we have cable boxes with loads and loads of menus, none of which talk.
Yes.
What we need to do is contact the entity, and fortunately I don't have the name of that right now, that is involved with designing the standards for cable boxes, and we need to get them to insist that Motorola, Scientific Atlanta, and the other companies build in accessibility, mainly talking menus, into these newest digital cable boxes.
And who should Michael contact about that, Chris, to get that into a resolution?
The chair of the resolutions committee is Jeff Tom of California, and it would be good to contact him if you could, I don't know his email by heart, and I'm happy to send him a note and mention this to him. I just don't know what his committee's policy is yet this year for taking resolutions. Whether he would accept just the idea and assign a committee member to write a resolution, I'm not sure. But let me give it a shot. There's no question, Michael, what you're saying is true. And a number of ACB affiliates have already passed resolutions. Those resolutions tend to be, to the best of my knowledge anyway, aimed at their local cable providers. Let's face it, these days local cable providers, usually someone like Comcast that's nationwide or almost nationwide. And so the providers themselves have some awareness of this already. To go to the companies, as you say, like Motorola or to the standard body is another way that certainly would be a good thing for us to do.
Michael, are you planning to be at the convention?
No, unfortunately, I will not be able to make it to the convention.
Well, then we will ask Chris to put forward your idea, and if the committee accepts some ideas as opposed to fully written resolutions, then perhaps something will move forward, and if not, you might. Let's see. I don't know Jeff's. If someone knows Jeff's email address, call us. That's the easiest way to do this. The number is 1-866-666-7926. Thanks for.
Chris says his name is Tom, not Jeff.
It's Jeff Tom.
The chair of the resolutions committee is Jeff Tom, and he'll be the person. Well, he and his committee will be ultimately responsible for resolutions. So I'll send him a note and let him know that you're interested in this and that we talked on the radio tonight.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so now let me go back to Birmingham and let me let you take it in the direction you started.
Okay.
Why should we go there? Hang on, don't do it yet. We have another call.
See,
this is the informalness of internet radio. Hello, you're with Marlena and Chris. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Sue Amateur from Seattle.
Hey, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
Turn up my phone a little bit here. Good show tonight. I think you've covered a lot of good topics, and I enjoyed hearing your mid-year speech, Chris.
Thank you.
So I'd like to have you address for me as the chair, but also for the folks listening, any thoughts that you have about what we could do to increase or enhance membership retention and development.
Okay. Well, membership is certainly something I care a lot about, and it's unfortunate that we're seeming to be living in a society today that does not join perhaps as much as they used to.
Anything.
That's right. Not just ACB, but you talk to any organization like ours, the Lions, the Kiwanis, and so forth, you know that membership is going down and down. I hate to start editorializing on the nature of our social networks in the U.S., so I guess I won't do that. But anyway.
Good. We don't have time. So
it does seem to me that whether or not people are joining as much as they used to many organizations, for people to join an organization like ACB is not as difficult because we ought to be meeting the needs of people who can become our members. We ought, for example, to be able to offer things to people who are losing their vision to make them want to be members of ACB. We ought to be able to offer things to people who have low vision for good or no vision that make them want to stay in the organization. So, in part, it seems to me that by doing things like having a viable online store, the ACB store, is one great way of encouraging people to stay a part of the organization. The better our magazine is, the more we're apt to retain members in the organization. I think, though, Sue, the bottom line ends up being and I'm going to change phones, so hang on for a minute. You guys, my cordless battery is going out on me, and I don't want to lose you entirely.
That would not be a good thing.
This may shoot your level all to heck.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Good.
You're fine.
Good. I think that in many cases, membership, as it always has, boils down to the grassroots. What do I get from my affiliate in whatever city or town I live in? Does the state provide me with services that are identifiable by me and that I can do? And we really have to put as much focus as we can on individuals working with individuals. That's what brings people into ACB and makes them stay, I think.
I would agree with you. I mean, people even come to chapter meetings if they like people. If they don't like the people, if they don't have a friend, they're probably not going to come.
Yeah, it is often the case.
So, Marlene, if you'll allow me a little license, we are going to try something similar to what Chris has been doing with the membership committee on May 10th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to do a membership call, and we invite anybody who would like to come in and talk about ideas for retention of membership or bring in new members, and also what you'd like to see us put on at the National Convention for our membership seminar. So anyone's welcome, and you just use the same phone number that Chris has given before, and then instead of you just use the date. So it'd be 051004 is the password.
And right at the end of the show, I'll say what the number is. I haven't wanted to say the whole number because then it will just get confused with the number that Marlene is saying.
Yes, we discovered this last week. Yes, yes.
We're already confused enough, right?
We're all terribly
confused. And Sue, as membership chairperson, would you be kind enough to give your email in the event that people want to contact you and talk about this?
Hopefully my email will be up again. The Trojan virus, which I never even heard of, invaded my computer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was very depressing. Anyway, it's amateurs, AMMETERS, at Comcast, comcast.net. And I don't mind if people call me. I'll give my phone number if that's all right.
Sure.
206-525-4667, because I may throw my computer out in the street.
Well, Sue, you'll be appreciating this information. If you have the original real Trojan virus, all your friends know you have it, too.
Yeah, and your friends are really going to appreciate that, Sue.
Good. Well, this makes me very happy.
Actually, Will, you'll stop going to that chapter meeting because you won't have any friends there. So
believe me. You know, I guess one thing quickly, a piece about computers.
Uh-huh.
When they operate well, we love them, and when they break, they are a pain in the you-know-what.
They sure are. They sure are. Well, good luck with the virus.
Anyway, but John has used all the swear words he can use now, so. All right, I'll get off here.
Thanks
all
for calling, Sue. Good night. So that's good information to have about that membership call, and I will get that number in before the end of the program, and if I forget, you stop me and put it in. Okay, so back to Birmingham. Why should we go this summer? It's going to be a contentious... Oh, dear, you are dodged again here. We have another call. Hello, you are with Marlena and Chris. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, Marlena. This is Charles in Sacramento.
Hello, Charles.
And I understand you wanted Jeff Tom's email.
Ah, do you have that?
I have it for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's have it.
Okay, it's JSTHOM at ATTBI.com.
Okay, now are you saying JS as in Sam, THOM, or JF as in Frank?
I'll give it to you ham phonetics.
Well, I just need to know that middle letter.
Yeah, S is in Sierra.
Okay, great. So it's
J-S is in Sierra.
Tom, T-H-O-M.
Yeah.
At ATTBI.net?
.com.
.com. I'll mess it up here one way or the other.
Well,
all right. Great.
Everybody does.
Thank you so much. Charles, did you have anything else for Chris?
Well, no, I just wanted to say hello to Chris, and I saw him at the CCB convention.
Oh, good for you. Well, thank you. Hi, I hope things are going well.
And Chris, you're doing a great job. Don't let nobody get to you.
Well, thank you very much. I try not to.
And we'll probably see you in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Oh, at the blackjack tables. Here we come.
That's right.
All right, Charles.
So we'll catch you later.
Thank
right,
you,
thank
my
you.
Best to Venus.
Right, bye-bye.
Good night. The number 1-866-666-7926. Why should I go to Alabama? What is there going to be happening there for me besides?
Well, there's going to be some great tours, and those are in the forum, so I won't go into a lot of detail, but if you've ever wanted to go to the home of Helen Keller and the town that she was born in, that's being put together. There's going to be a tour, apparently a really wonderful moving tour to a civil rights museum that people will enjoy. And so those are two things. I hate to focus too much on tours because that means people aren't attending meetings and so on. We're going to have the convention organized by day, as we've done in the past. So like Monday is transportation day, Wednesday is information access day. And it really is, we've worked out a lot of difficulties with the hotel that we noticed early on. And I think the whole convention is shaping up to be a very positive and good experience for people.
Let me ask you another question. Where are you now, and this moves into perhaps another difficult area, but one that I think needs to be looked at. Where are you now with your discussions with the Guide Dog User Affiliate?
Well, no, not a difficult issue. I think we've made a lot of progress in that area. There's no question it has been controversial, and I guess I better not say that it won't be controversial again, because it always could be. But based on some email communications and things just really becoming much more, how shall I say, much more just loud than they should have been on any side. Some months ago, I initiated a set of conversations with Debbie Grubb, president of GDUI. Is that your phone?
It is. We have a caller. Caller, can I ask you to hold just one moment?
Sure.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
And so Debbie Grubb and Janine Stanley. And we had some very, very good conversations about, you know, both sides of the Stephanie Doman issue, the various different sides of the guide dog issue that had been raised. And I hope that listeners and everyone will read my statement in the Braille Forum, and or a statement in PawTrax that really is our attempt to get on the same page and do better at communicating with one another about the needs of guide dog users.
So you would say then in summary that things are, that doors are again opened and communication is flowing.
I believe they are. Yes.
Great. Let's bring this caller in. Good evening, caller. You're with Chris and Marlena. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
This is Cindy Burgett, president of WCV from Bremerton, Washington.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey,
hi,
Cindy.
Chris. Hi, Marlena. I tuned in late, so I apologize if this has been already addressed. You can...
That's okay.
Not, you know, disregard it, okay?
I'm going to see her next weekend. I'll swat her hard if I have to.
Chris, one of my beliefs, and I think probably you would agree, that the membership responds to its leadership and how it reacts to different situations. And I believe that the main membership of ACB then responds to the leadership being the board. The board, in turn, responds to the leadership of you, the president. Somewhere in the last year, there's been some breakdown of communication, and there's been obviously some problems. I would like to know, what do you see your responsibility is in all of this, and what do you plan to do differently in the future to make things better?
Well, there are probably multiple responsibilities that I need to bear in this case. And I don't know if I have a firm handle on all of them yet. So don't take my answer, Cindy, as absolutely definitive on this. I believe that there's a couple things that, had we been able to approach them differently, would have created some different outcomes. Hindsight being 20/20 and all that, I will still say that I wish I had a better personal understanding of the extent of the disconnect with regard to policy that was guiding our staff and the level of difficulty we were heading for in that area. If I had really known the extent of the disconnect, perhaps I would have handled that situation differently. Maybe another president would have understood that earlier. I don't know. So that would have been nice. Sure would have.
And
probably the more direct thing, though, that I see in looking back over the past several months is that we all let ourselves get into the wrong space with internet discussions. We became debaters, pretty good debaters, but not problem solvers. And that probably could have been stopped earlier than I think it has been stopped. Maybe I'm living in a glass house, I don't know. And I don't read ACBL that much, so I better tell you that too. But it seems to me that since the mid-year meeting, the level of communication has improved significantly on leadership. Now, we've had a few moments since then, but it is much better. And I'll tell you this, I'm not doing anywhere near as much of my communicating on the internet now because I don't necessarily trust it as much as I used to as a means of conveying what I really want to convey to people. Sometimes that personal touch, the 5 or 10 minutes it may take you on a phone, as opposed to the, you know, 30 or 40 seconds it may take you to write something on the internet, may well be, especially for the president of ACB, time well spent. Now, there's only enough, you know, there's not enough hours in the day to do all the phone calling, but it seems to me that it's working better to communicate directly with people and not allow situations to create themselves on the internet that were never intended to be created in the first place.
So then would you say, Chris, just because I'm looking at the clock here ticking mercilessly along, that at least in summary, the answer to Cindy's question is that you are recognizing that there was a disconnect, the extent of which you weren't completely aware in terms of the guiding policies for the staff.
Well, I'll go further than that, Marlene. I just flat misjudged it.
Okay.
I did not think it was anywhere near as bad as it turned out to be.
And the thing you are doing about that is we've talked a bit about the Office Review Committee. And you are making it your business, I can assume then, to become more aware of staff, I don't know how to word this, but staff communication issues, staff policy issues.
We need to write down some policy.
And then the second piece would be that perhaps you are communicating more directly and in person with people, as well as on the internet, but certainly, more often directly with people.
Right, right. I think we need that greater level of communication.
Okay. And
maybe later on I'll say more on the internet again, but right now we've got to establish some real relationships again, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Does that get to it, Cindy?
It does, and Chris, just in closing, and then I'll get out of here, I want to say that I appreciate you being on here and opening up to people. And I also appreciate the job that you've been doing and the burden that you have carried. And I do believe in you and your integrity. And I do see that you have probably made some missed calls here and there, but we all do it. You're human, And we all need to remember that. And I do believe that every leader we have in office right now is there because they care enough about this organization to have ran for that position and give of their time. So thank you.
Thanks, Cindy.
Good night, you guys.
Good night.
Thanks very much, Cindy.
Okay, we are almost to time here. Will you come on again?
Absolutely, anytime.
You know, some of the things I want to talk about for very future shows, I'd like to do this, and perhaps we'll just do an hour, I don't know, but I'd like to talk about, people talk about the leadership isn't listening, the board, this or that. I'd like to demystify the process. How do people run to get onto the board?
Sure.
How do people approach and whom do people approach to make it known on what committees they want to serve?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot that members can do and should do, and perhaps we can do a program on kind of demystifying some of the how-tos that maybe we need to kind of reiterate.
That'd be fun.
All right, well, in about 30 seconds or less, give me that phone number.
Okay, 866-633-8638.
All right, and thanks so much for joining us, Chris.
Well, thank you. It's been a good show. I've enjoyed it and look forward to doing it again. And if people are tired of hearing me, invite some other officers and board members as well.
Oh, I absolutely plan to.
Great.
Thanks so
Great.
Much, Chris.
You too.
And this is Marlena, and you've been listening to Marlena. See you again next week. Same time, same place. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.